ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 5 एंटाइटल नारद मुनि कर्स्ड बाय प्रजापति दक्ष टेक्स्ट 43 तंतु कृंतन यन्नस्त्वम् अभद्रम् अचरः पुनः तस्माल्लोकेषु ते मूढ़ न भवेद् भ्रमतः पदम् तन्। You have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because Prajapati Daksha was a Grahamedhi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could remain in one place, but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Parivrajakacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. In the parampara system, from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable place for residence, I cannot stay anywhere. For I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I have traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year. And although I am provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, you can go to Vrindavan and even in Ras Bihari and see such a wonderful place. I have traveled all over. I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples. But now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task, this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these young preachers. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. Srila Prabhupada, we would be sitting in our own homes like Daksha. Om Ajnana Timira.
तंतु कृंतन यन्नस्त्वं अभद्रम अचरह पुनः तस्मात् लोके तु ते मूढ़ न भवेद् भ्रमतः पदम्।
यू हैव मेड मी लूज माई सन्स वंस एंड नाउ यू हैव अगेन डन द सेम इनऑस्पिशियस थिंग। Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you
to have no residence anywhere. It is said, one man's food is another man's poison. If you see from Daksha Prajapati's point of view, he is right. He is struggling so much and he has produced children and taken the responsibility to rear them, bring them up in the service of the Lord, to populate the universe, to give facility for the conditioned souls to go back. And here comes Narada, right at the peak when the flowers and the fruits are ripe, and he just plucks them and just takes away. Any gardener will feel bad if he has raised the whole garden and just when the ripe fruit is ripe, somebody comes and just picks up and goes. Of course, the fellow who picks up is really intelligent. He knows when to come, just take the essence and go away. Very painful to a person who has reared the garden. So if we see from Daksha's point of view, it absolutely seems to make sense. And Narada Muni's point of view, if you see, then he makes perfect sense. Srimad Bhagavatam actually is the highest absolute truth. And it is the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra which defeats all other different levels of consciousness and establishes what is the highest consciousness, what is the highest perfection of life, and what should be one's perception, what is the paradigm of one who has completely self-realized. And therefore, until a person has completely, thoroughly understood the Vedic scriptures culminating in one's eternal relationship with the Lord and has realized that, anyone else who sees the activities of such a person, it seems very absurd, it seems very cruel, it doesn't make sense. Ya nisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashyato mune. The Bhagavad Gita says how for a man who is self-realized, what is day for him is night for the others, and what is day for them is night for these. Because there are different levels of perception according to different levels of evolution of consciousness. And it is very, very important to understand through logical analysis the progressive spiritual levels. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami therefore says, Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas, iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manas. Even when Arjuna presented his arguments to Krishna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, anyone who listens to the argument from Arjuna's putting oneself in Arjuna's shoes cannot but side with Arjuna and saying perfectly right. He is right and he was right from his point of view. His heart was melting out of compassion. But because that emotion was not actually substantiated through true philosophy, the complete theology, and therefore Krishna chastised him as, you're talking like a big pandit, but you're a fool. So Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas, iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manas.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it's the nature of the soul is to have emotions. It is full of sentiment, it's full of feelings. That's the nature of the soul. But if these feelings are, if these qualities are not based on solid foundation of philosophy or scriptures, then that is weak-heartedness, or it may continue to keep us in illusion and suffering. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he spoke to Rupa Goswami, he gave the complete understanding of these different levels of consciousness. He says how there are two kinds of living entities, sthavara and jangama. Sthavara means the living entities who are like the trees, etc., who don't move. And then there are those who are mobile, jangama. That means, and among the jangama there are entities that move in the land, move in water, move in air. And amongst those move on land, so many millions of them. And then 4 million is 4 lakh species is actually of human beings. And among human beings, there are like that, gradual elevation. And ultimately brings to the point of how a pure devotee of the Supreme Narayana Para, a devotee of the Lord, is the highest and actually has achieved the perfection of life. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, while explaining the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says that he analyzes what is this deliberation. Siddhanta boliya chitte na koro alas. One should not be lazy in trying to understand the philosophy through deliberation, through logical analysis. And in deliberation, there are 5 components. Baldev Vidya Bhushan writes in his Vedanta Sutra, when he writes the Govinda Bhashya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that he writes there are 5 components of deliberating when you actually think about any subject matter. The first is called Vishaya. Vishaya means you present a general thesis. But then there is Samshaya. The next one is Samshaya. There is some doubt about the Vishaya. What exactly is that Vishaya? And then there is Sangati. Sangati means reconciling, reconciliation. That actually what I mean is this. Whenever you put out a subject, there are some doubts. What do you mean by that? Define everything. And reconciliation means you say this is what is this. And then there is, the fourth is Purva Paksha, opposition. How can you say like that? What about this? What about this? There are so many opposing arguments. And finally, Siddhanta. In Siddhanta, you defeat all other arguments against the subject or the general thesis and substantiate the truth. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted this. In fact, the word Chaitanya Charitamrita is the subject matter. Chaitanya Charita. The life of the soul. Chaitanya means the soul, consciousness. Charita. What is the life of the soul? What is the ultimate goal of the soul? What is the goal of life? And what is life? The subject matter discussed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is life of the soul. So the first samshaya, this is the thesis. And what is the ultimate? So the samshaya is, what is life? And what is the goal of life? This is the samshaya. Then the the sangati, the reconciliation is, it is said that life is of two types. Pure life and conditional life. Pure life is the life of the living entity in the pure abode of the kingdom of God, where it is, life is eternal, full of knowledge and blissful. There are no deficiencies. Everything is perfect. No disease, no birth, no old age, no death. Everything is blissful. Everything is wonderful. That is the pure life in its pure state. That is the ultimate goal. And the second type of life is conditioned life. Conditional. That means the soul is put under perfect, a particular condition. He is conditioned to think in a particular way against his natural constitutional position. That's conditional life. And conditional life is of two types. Bahirmukha or gross material life, which is turned away from spirituality. And the second is antarmukha, means which is life which is externally looking like the same, but only thing is there is deep respect for spirituality or who have turned towards the Lord. So in this material existence, dva bhuta sargav lokesmin daiva asura evacha, there are two kinds of living entities, those who have turned away and those bahirmukha and those who are unmukha or antarmukha. Now amongst bahirmukha there are different levels and different categories. Predominantly, it can be broadly, there are so many shades of them, but predominantly they can be put under four categories. One is amoral atheistic. Amoral, they have no moral codes and there is no conception of God. Animal life. You go to any animals, animals have no conception of God. I'm sure they don't have any conception of the self also, of eternal existence, etc. And there are no moral codes. Might is right. That is the only code. I want what I want when I want. That's all. So that is amoral atheistic life. And sometimes even in the human life, that is what their philosophy is. If you see, very observe the primitive tribes, aborigine tribes, their life is almost animalistic. Just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Might is right, that's all. And they have some regard for something powerful, the sky, unlimited, the ocean, the hills, the tiger, very powerful, or very, very big and massive things on which their existence is dependent. Earth, they have great respect and regard because they know they are dependent and they are humbled in front of such a powerful entity or powerful things. So that is animalistic life. Amoral, there is no moral code, and there is atheistic. Then a human being, because he has intelligence, tries to improve the quality of his enjoyment and uses scientific knowledge to improve that sense gratification. So that is, as Prabhupada calls it, the royal edition of animal life, or the sophisticated, polished, well-dressed, two-legged animal life. Technologically advanced, but the whole mentality is, I want what I want when I want. Just go and get it. And because I am powerful, because I have knowledge, because I have I have understanding of how material nature works to some extent, I manipulate it for my own enjoyment. That is highly gross, selfish, egoistic existence. That's also amoral, atheistic. And they have their own vishaya, their own samshaya, their own sangati, their own purupaksha, and their own siddhanta. Ridam kritva ghritam pivet, yavat jivet, sukham jivet. Big, big munis. Bhasmi bhuta sadehasya punaragamanam kutaha. They have a perfect philosophy. But then someone comes and says, excuse me, Prabhu, you enjoy, absolutely no problem, but not at the cost of others suffering. Others should not suffer. Do good, be good. You clean your house and look around, nobody is there, throw it in the neighbor's compound. This is not good. This is not good. It should not be thrown in neighbor's compound. Let us have a rule. The whole society gets together and they make their own law so that their sense gratification is not disturbed. That is called a moral code. What is a moral code? Moral code means people come together and discuss and come to a mutually beneficial agreement of a law, temporary law. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. And they feel they are moral. And they feel very proud about it. We are very moral. And there are states, even today in India, where these moral codes are worshipped. They are absolutely atheistic. But they feel themselves so proud that they are moral. Because they have their own law and stick to their law. I have mentioned it many times, but when I was young, I came across a cartoon where there are two boys shooting arrows at the bullseye. And they show one boy shooting arrow and there's a big bullseye, seven layers. Sometimes he hits the seventh outer round, sometimes the middle round, sometimes the sixth and the fourth and the fifth or first. Trying to come to the center with great difficulty. And they show another boy who's shooting arrows. And every time he hits right the bullseye. Every arrow is exactly in the bullseye. And then they show in the next picture why the other boy is perfectly hitting the bullseye. Because he shoots the arrow and wherever the arrow hits the wall, he draws a bullseye around it. And therefore, he's always hitting the bullseye. That means you do an activity and to justify this activity, you create a philosophy. The center and the perfection of that philosophy is the activity you are doing. And therefore, you are the perfect halo around your head. That is morality. You create your own. You act on a particular way and you create a very holy philosophy around that activity. And the center of that philosophy is the activity you are doing. And therefore, according to that, you are the purest person who are following that philosophy. But then the problem with this philosophy is, first of all, it's not the truth. As Krishna describes in the Gita, of the truth there is no, Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayor vidrishtondas tvanayos tattva darshibhi. Of the truth there is no cessation and anything that changes is not truth. We find morality changing. Every 5 years, moral codes change. What was considered immoral 10 years ago is considered perfectly moral. What is considered immoral in some another place is considered absolutely moral in another place. These are all relative truths. So, moral, the next level of conditioned life of Bahirmukha is, first is amoral atheism or advanced amoral atheism in form of scientific technological lifestyle of polished animal life. Next to that is moral atheistic. They themselves think that we are the lawmakers, whatever we make, that's a law. Next to that is moral theist. Moral theist. Now, why have they come under Bahirmukha then? But their sense of theism is better to have a God also in our moral code. Because if there is a sense of fear of God, it will keep society peaceful. And a sense of afterlife, a sense of compassion. So many nice qualities come if you at least believe that koi hai upar. Chalo. Better to believe in some God, doesn't matter. You create your own God, but have a God. Because the presence of God makes you very peaceful, gives you a lot of hope, and keeps the masses pacified and happy and cool. Very nice. This is pseudo-theist. Moral pseudo-theist. They create their own gods and start worshipping. But that God is subordinate, subservient to their moral code. In fact, one of the moral code is it is better to have a God also and please Him also once in a way. So that is moral pseudo-theistic. And then comes the distorted faith in the impersonalism, impersonalistic philosophy. Even that is Bahirmukha. When you start speculating, you have to speculate. Who is God? This is God. That's God. And ultimately you will really get frustrated. So many philosophies, so many gods. Ultimately a person starts speculating. And when you push and you push and you push your intelligence to the end of the universe, what happened after that? You can't go beyond that. Then the frog in the well philosophy, then you distort your speculative tendency, distort it to come to a distorted conclusion that God must have no form, because form in this world is leading to misery. God shouldn't be very miserable, therefore God should have no form. Name in this world is very superficial, it's simply a designation, He should have no name. Activities in this world are temporary, miserable, therefore He should have no activity. In this way, they come to an impersonalist, and there are 100 shades of these kind of different, within this, all this, they are like a big rainbow. And within that, there are so many different shades. All of this is Bahirmukha. Because they do not know who God is, and therefore they are not subordinate to the will of the Lord. They disregard the scriptures. In fact, because they disregard the scriptures and take selectively what they want, eventually these impersonalist philosophers lose even moral codes. They degrade. Even morality they don't have. And gradually they come to an understanding of an impersonal or kind of monism, that I am God. So these are the different shades. And all of them have their own philosophy. Vishaya, Samshaya, Sangati, Purupaksha, and Siddhanta. All of them have their Siddhanta. The only thing is, a moral theist, a moral atheist, defeats the philosophy of the amoral atheist. the moral pseudo-theist, comes and defeats the philosophy of moral atheistic and tells what are the advantages in at least believing that, let's believe that a God exists. So much peace in society, so much hope, happiness, less qualities of whatever. So all of them defeat the previous ones. Defeat the previous ones. And then comes the antarmukha. Antarmukha, the main quality is when we accept that the Supreme Lord to be the be-all and end-all of this whole existence. And they make all their sciences, all their arts, all their morality, all their philosophy, all their theology subordinate and subservient to devotion to the Supreme Lord. That is antarmukha. Actually, that is the beginning, akleshagni shubhada. That is the beginning of auspicious life. That is the actual time when sinful reactions go away. Otherwise, it is just whimsical and it's not going to address and solve the real problems of life. Bhaktya tu ananyaya shakya aham evam vidorjuna. So if you want to know the absolute truth, bhakti is the only way. And that is Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra defeats all other lower philosophies. There are Shat Darshan. All of them have different levels of understanding. And Vedanta Sutra defeats every other conception, every other understanding of truth, and establishes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And amongst that, the understanding of Vaishnavism is the highest. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Amongst the understanding of absolute truth, Bhagavat, which is the commentary of the Vedanta Sutra by the self same author, establishes Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyajaya Yataha. Therefore, Bhagavat is considered Sarva Sastrabdhi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satphala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. Bhagavat is considered the crest jewel. Sarva Shastra Abdhi Piyusha. If you take all the scriptures compared to the ocean of knowledge contained in the scriptures and churn the ocean to get the nectar that comes out is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedaika Satphala. People approach Veda for Artha. Artha. Artha means some benefit. Swartha or Paramartha. But Artha. They want some benefit. There are four Purusharthas. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But Panchama Purushartha. Sarva Vedaika Satphala. That is Prema Pumartho Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the person Bhagavat. The Lord Himself descended and told what is the ultimate Sarva Vedaika Satphala. Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedyu. How to know our relationship with Krishna, establish that relationship and relish true love for Krishna, which is the highest fruit of the Vedic tree. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. We are discussing about Siddhanta. Sarva Siddhanta Ratna Adhya. Adhya means mine. Like we have gold mine, coal mine and gold mine and whatnot. This Srimad Bhagavatam, Sarva Siddhanta Ratna Adhya. It is the crest, it is a mine which consists the essence of all conclusions. If you want to know what is the essence of politics, how to govern the society, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Read the description of Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Prithu. You know what is the essence of the conclusion about philosophy, politics. If you want to know about geography, If you want to know about science, to know things as they are, in relationship with the absolute, then you know what is the purpose of everything. Unless you know where it is coming from, you don't know what's the purpose of everything. So all the conclusion of all truths can be understood simply by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And therefore, anyone who knows Srimad Bhagavatam can immediately Gya Bhagavata Pado Bhagavata Sthane. Bhagavatam heard from a person, Bhagavatam. Such a person, ask him any questions and he will give you the ultimate conclusion of that truth. People were surprised. How shall a Prabhupada, seemingly an ordinary person from a city of Calcutta in India, could meet top philosophers, top scientists, top thinkers in all the different fields and give them, immediately find out the fault in their philosophy and give that little what they required to complete understanding of their philosophy. It's amazing. Yasmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati. If you know Krishna, you know everything. Why? Because everything is coming from Krishna and Krishna has created everything for a purpose. If you don't know the purpose of everything, what's the use of knowing how things work? I know how the microphone works, but what is the purpose of this microphone? If I don't use it for what it is created, then it defeats the purpose. What's the use of knowing all the philosophy? Therefore, one who knows Bhagavat knows everything. One who knows Krishna knows everything. And then that establishes the absolute truth. And here Narada, anyone whom he meets, he gives Narayan. That's his job, Narada. He gives Narayan to whomever he meets. He cannot but, because he's a lover of God, he loves and he can't see someone suffering because of ignorance. All suffering is ultimately due to ignorance. Because what is ignorance? Ignorance is when you try to make things work in a way that you want. It doesn't work. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate. It's not working under your control. Krishna is the supreme controller. Understand his mind. Understand his purpose. And make your purpose and your heart one with him. Thy will be done. Simply become an instrument. Amazing things will be achieved. You will be happy. You will never be frustrated. Because you know, Krishna's plan is something else. I'll simply become an instrument. Nimitta matra bhava sabya sachi. Not knowing that, we become disturbed. Why do people become disturbed in anxiety? Because they don't know bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shanti mrichati. They are peaceful. Because they know, Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. He is the supreme controller. Whatever he wills, will that happen. And he is our ultimate well-wisher. He is not a very sadistic enjoyer. He is not a very tyrant controller. He is a Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He loves us. He will control our lives in such a way that ultimately it's for our benefit. His enjoyment is our ultimate enjoyment. In his enjoyment, will we find the ultimate bliss? When we know that, what's the anxiety? Krishna bhakta nishkama atayeva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. Why are they shanta? Because he is nishkama. He has no other desire. That kama is transformed into prema. My Lord, I simply am an instrument in your hand. Move me. Therefore, Narada Muni is least concerned, whatever he says. Because he knows exactly what Lord wants. And he's going around. And when people are receptive, he immediately gives them. Narada knows Krishna's heart. Your heart runs to where there is a need. So where there is an intense need, Narada is just surrendered, you know, she just flies. And he lands there. People are surprised, you know. A person is intensely wants to do something and Krishna arranges Narada or his representative to come. By the mercy of God, we get a guru, and by the mercy of guru, we understand who God is. If there is an intense desire, just like the child, the duckling which quacks the loudest gets the attention of the mother. So whosoever's desire is strongest, Krishna, who you are, I want to know. Dhruva Maharaj wanted to know. And therefore Narada appeared there from nowhere. That's his power. And Daksha knew very well the power of Narada Muni. So he said, I'll curse you. You don't stay in one place. Because if you stay in one place, you transform the heart of everyone. Look at what happened to my 10,000 children. This is too much. With great difficulty, I procreate. And I send them to become good children, you know. Do tapasya. Life is not, you should do vrata, japa, tapa, everything. And nicely procreate. Be good, do good, and live happily. Ever after in this world, but that doesn't happen. So he was highly disturbed. He was frustrated in his attempt. And therefore he curses. And the curse is, he says, you. Because curse is, if I want to curse you, I will do something which is, I feel is very bad. I don't want to be. Sometimes in Hindi they say, dushman ko bhi aisi dasha na aaye bhai. When you suffer in some situation, then you say, my God, even my enemy should never face this situation. This is too miserable. So for a person who is too attached to a comfortable household situation, the worst misery is if you are on the road, on the streets, no residence. And therefore he says, you will have no residence in one place. You can't stay in more than few days. You have to keep on traveling. Wow, what a boon to a preacher like Narada. That's exactly what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in this purport, says, yeah, could not remain but had to travel all over the world. That would be a great punishment for him. This is what Daksha thought. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. For a preacher, he wants to go to a place where there are people in need. That's compassion. Moved by love, he wants to reach out to anyone who is need of it. And therefore it's a benediction for a person that you should not stay in one place. Keep on traveling. It's very nice. A preacher is known as Parivrajaka Acharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Narada travels literally everywhere. Anywhere he wants he can go. And Prabhupada writes that, yeah, in the parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. This is generally Prabhupada writes we, no, the royal we. But here he says very clearly, in the parampara system of Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places for residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Prabhupada is so happy to inherit this curse. It's like one time Krishna had a headache. Krishna having a headache, but Krishna had a headache. And he told Narada, just go and I need the dust of the feet of my devotees to cure me. Nobody in the whole universe was prepared to give the dust. Krishna told Narada, okay, you go to Vrindavan, as the gopis. And the gopis immediately took out dust and they wanted to give. Narada said, do you understand? What is the reaction? You'll go to hell. And the gopis were ready to go to hell eternally to reduce Krishna's headache for 1 second. For a moment's relief from headache, they are ready to go to hell eternally. This is love. To relieve the beloved's headache, you're ready to go to hell if that's what is makes him at least relieved of his headache. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a similar headache. How will the suffering conditioned souls be delivered? He asked Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur pacified him, consoled him, said, no, don't worry, my Lord. You have given this powerful holy name. This holy name will deliver all the conditioned souls. In fact, what to speak of the moving conditioned souls? Even the non-moving trees. Actually, when we loudly chant the holy name of the Lord in the jungle, the reverberation that we get, echo, it's not an echo. It's actually the trees chanting the holy name. Be pacified, my Lord. Every living entity, now that you have chanted the holy name of the Lord and established the Yuga Dharma, and Haridas Thakur went through hellish situations to distribute and relieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of his headache. being beaten in the 22 marketplace, hellish. He went through hellish situation simply to relieve Mahaprabhu for a moment's headache. What will happen to the conditioned souls? Who will deliver? I am a gardener. I have come with so much fruits. But I alone can't do it. I need help. Don't worry, my Lord. I will do it. I'll go to hellish situation, no problem. But I'll do it for you. In the same parampara system, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a headache. His headache was, how will all the conditioned souls be delivered? We are only talking about India, but Mahaprabhu's thing is, Prithivite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoive Mor Naam. This is Mahaprabhu's desire. And we are in the parampara, it's a big headache. How to do it? How do it? Who will do it? I don't see some qualified person. Every time he would reveal his heart. And Srila Prabhupada took that headache. Inherited that headache. Inherited that trouble. He left a comfortable situation in Vrindavan and traveled to hellish condition in the West. It is described in the scriptures where there are no holy rivers flowing, where there are no devotees, it's a hellish place. One should not live there. And he went to such a place. It's actually hellish in that sense. No devotees, nothing holy about it. In fact, especially the Bowries, etc. Unholiest of all places. But he went there simply to fulfill the order of his Guru Maharaj and the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada's desire, this is continuation of that headache. He's telling, okay, I have managed, I have given the basic structure, and I'm an old man, I will go away anytime. Therefore, I want to give the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is very important. Kalau Nashtad Drishamesha Puranarko Adhuno Ditaha. Kalau Nashtad Drisham, in Kaliyuga, people have lost their vision. Adharma goes in the name of Dharma. People have lost their vision about what is the absolute truth. What is true spirituality? Only Bhagavatam can give that. And I'm an old man. If I spend my whole time doing this, managing and teaching everyone how to do this, and so many problems and so many anxieties, it eats my head. That's a headache. Now I want to transfer it to you so that I can do the bigger headache of for the future, for next 10,000 years, I have some work to do. And I want desperately someone to take up this, inherit this headache, inherit this curse of not comfortably seated in one place, but to move around and take up the anxiety. One time, I remember His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving a address to all the counselors board, and he said that you be very grateful that you have so many people to take care of. Because don't think that you are the caretaker, but take care of. Because had you not been given this, you would have been sitting with your wife and children watching TV all day. The service is actually protecting us. Devotional service is simply actually mercy. As Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done everything, but he left something for me, for my purification, for my benefit. That was his humility. Similarly, yes, Mahaprabhu could have done himself. Couldn't Mahaprabhu transform the heart of everyone? He did it in South India. He could have just flown to some other place and done it. Just embrace one fellow and say, you go to village and you just hurry ball, and whoever meets you, whoever sees you, you will go into mad. That's what he did in South India. He could have done it all over the world. But he said, 10,000 years, who will do what? Everything is done. So I have to give some little headache to others. This headache is purifying, actually. It's a very purifying headache. The welcome headache. Because anyone who inherits this kind of headache, the more we take the anxiety of the Lord will be more anxious for us. And the Lord is anxious for someone, his life is finished, delivered completely. That is the perfection of life. His Lord is thinking of someone. Sadhavo hrudayo mahyam sadhunam hrudayam toham mad anyatena janati naham tebhyo managapi. I know no one but them, and they know no one but me. They know no one but me means they simply are thinking of the heart of the Lord. What is pleasing to the heart of the Lord? And for it, they are ready to go through hellish situations and circumstances. And because the devotees are dedicating their lives to relieve the Lord of his transcendental headache, all our headaches, he will take care. Our individual headaches. What will happen to my deliverance? What in the process of preaching, if I fall down, or if I deviate, or if something happens. If we are taking calculated risks, if we are properly under, following all the scriptures properly, and if we are going ahead, we must know for sure, based on shastric basis, that Krishna is, that is his headache. How will this person be? He will take care of the whole thing. So at least our headache, or when will I ever be delivered? That's why Narada Muni, Prahlad Maharaj told Narada Muni. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj told Lord Narsingadev that he has delivered me. How can I give up his service? I was rotting in material existence, and your devotee Narada came in my life and has saved me, picked me up from this filthy situation and put me in such an exalted place, an exalted position as a Vaishnava. How can I ever leave his service? I don't even want to go back to my... Because I am, as Prabhupada writes, I am not worried. Wherever I am, Narayana para sarve nakutashchana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu. As long as there is service, I am very happy. But I am worried about all these fools and rascals. Prabhupada, right? What about them? They are forgetting and they are going away. And that is Narada Muni's anxiety. That is a headache. That is his curse. Therefore, he is traveling. So let him relax in one place. I will do the traveling for you. That's like inheriting this kind of a headache. And so that, just like a surgeon, you know, there is a There was in Karnataka, there was a super eye surgeon. He was so expert, he could just do this cataract surgery. And it took him just 10 or 15 seconds to do that surgery. But then earlier he was alone. He was an expert man, but there was so much time it would take for him to register the patients, set up the whole thing, create a very disinfectant place, prepare the patient, and after post-operative care. Small things, but so much time was there. But a special thing that only he could do, and that was only he could do the cataract so effectively, 100% guarantee, and so quickly, and so many of them. He could do at least sometimes 1,000 a day. Not 1,000, some few hundreds a day. But then because he was so much burdened by so many other small things, but as he became very famous, so many people, eye surgeons and others, wanted to learn from him, and other people, organizations started helping him. And he allotted them the job of cleaning up the place, setting up everything and preparing the patients, post-operative care, so that he could do something which not many could do. And that was remove that cataract. Others could set up the place, others could clean the place, others could do post-operative care. But that special that he could do, that he wanted to do. He wanted to give his time, quality time, to that part which he could do most effectively. And that was very, very unique thing. It is not that Prabhupada, he was welcoming. He could never give up that curse. Even the last moment he went to England, he went to Manor. Said, better to die while fighting. He never gave up that curse. He never took it as a curse. He took it as a blessing. But still, heart of his heart, he was feeling, I need to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. These are law books. That is something he exclusively came for. Bhavanand Prabhu was telling the other day how Prabhupada once told him, confidentially just speaking to him, I didn't want to come here, you know. I told Krishna, I don't want to go. But Krishna said, no, you go. You at least write the books. The Bhaktivedanta purports. That was his main thing. And because of that, he says, now you handle all these other things so that I can do what I have exclusively come here for. That is the real headache, that the Kali Yuga has lost its vision and people need Srimad Bhagavatam. Kalaug Nashtad Drishamesha Puranarko Adhunudita. People need the sun. Once the sun rises, all darkness, all different levels of so-called piety, so-called different levels of Bahirmukha life will go away. And everyone will know what's the ultimate perfection of life. So in this way, Prabhupada is saying that if my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, very few sannyasis, of course, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sasanyasi cha yogi cha nani narakdirna chakriya. Real sannyasi is Hiban. Anashrita karma phalam, without expectation of results, karyam karma, prescribed duty, karotiya sasanyasi, is a real sannyasi. Sa yogi cha, is a real yogi. So it applies to all of us. It doesn't literally mean, at least somebody may say, that means I can't travel all over the world. Traveling, why we travel? If you are traveling for sightseeing, that's not traveling. Real traveling is, it's not what you do, but why you do what you do. The whole thing is, how I can relieve the headache of Guru and Krishna so that they can continue to do what they, the heart of hearts, they can do effectively. That's a great service. Taking whatever little responsibility we can. Responsibility is a headache, basically. Taking responsibility is a headache. So if we take up whatever little, taking it as a life and soul, at least we can take responsibility for ourselves, first of all. We shouldn't become a headache, first of all. If not relieve his headache, we should become a cause of headache. if that's a big headache relieved. At least this fellow can handle himself. It's like a father has three children. One child says, forget it, I will do what I want. Don't interfere in my life. Great anxiety. He can't handle, take care of himself. He's completely dependent. The second son says, don't worry, Papa, I'll take care of myself. You don't have to worry on my behalf. I know what you want. I'll just do what I want. The third son says, don't worry. I will not only do what you expect me to do, but I will take care of that other child who is very not able to take care. I'll do that. Such a big relief. So there are different levels. One is at least we shouldn't become a source of headache. Higher than that is not only take care of ourselves, but also if we can inspire and encourage by our own example and by our words someone else to continue this process, fixed, become fixed up, it's a great service done. And this cannot be appreciated. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's last address, it's there in the first issue of Srimad Back to Godhead that Prabhupada published. The primer, first original sheet that used to be. The first thing that he published was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's last message. So he began where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati left off. Very interesting. He began with that and says, don't be discouraged. There will always be different levels of people blaspheming, discouraging, cursing. This will go on. That's the nature of this world. But we just have to go on with this seven-tongued Sankirtan movement. I was wondering, what is seven-tongued? You know, just like you have 21-gun salute. Seven-tongued Sankirtan. You know, what are the seven tongues? I was trying to... And somebody told me it's actually the first verse of Shikshashtakam. Cheto darpanam arjanam, bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam, sheyah kairava chandrika vitaranam, vidyavadhu jivanam, anandamudivardhanam pratipadam, purnamrita swadhanam, sarvatma snaparam param vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Just go on with the Sankirtan movement, the seven-tongued Sankirtan movement, which is all auspicious, not only for ourselves because of cleansing of the heart, but for whole humanity. It will bring auspiciousness, kairava chandrika, vitaranam, vidyavadhu jivanam. Everyone will be enlightened automatically. The process taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is automatically reveals everything. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Gaudodaye Pushpavantau Chitrau Shandau Tamonudau. The process taught by these two brothers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Saha Uditau, they have arisen, Gaudodaye, on the horizon of Gaudadesh, on the eastern horizon, Pushpavantau. Amazing thing is, the sun and moon have simultaneously arisen. Have you ever seen sun and moon rising from the same horizon simultaneously? This is the surprise. Chitrao, chitrao means wonder. The first wonder is that these two brothers have simultaneously arisen from the horizon of Gaudadesh. And what is the second? The second wonderful thing about these two brothers is not only have they come together, but the process that they are teaching, sun and moon dissipate the darkness outside. But the process taught by these two brothers dissipate the darkness inside of the heart. Completely. Bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam. It's a fact. Anyone who starts practicing Krishna consciousness with little sincerity of purpose, the gut feeling says, no, something wrong here. I need to improve, work on it. I need to work on this. I need to go that. I need to know. It's amazing. How? Automatically it just enlightens the heart. So this sun and moon have not only arisen together, but they dissipate the darkness. And what is the highest of darkness? Dharma projita kaitava. And Kaitava Dharma, and the highest of all Kaitava, according to Sridhar Swami, is Moksha. The sixth Goswami's prayer, it is said, they help us, they liberate us from the devouring mouth of liberation. What is aspired by people, we devouring mouth of liberation. We don't want that liberation. We want pure prema. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, one time in the book discussion this year only.
Speak loudly.
Hare Bol. Prabhuji, in the book distribution this in the other stall, there was one Gujarati old Mataji, and she was asking for Bhagavatam. And she was asking for some other Baba. She said, you have the Bhagavatam for this Baba and something, something. So like, generally we, I tell her the lie, yeah, this is the same. And she was asking all the 12 cantos in one Bhagavatam. I said, yeah, everything is this in all that. So somehow or other, I just gave her the book and she took it. So,
the question is, has everyone heard the question? The question is that he was distributing books and one lady came and asked, I want such and such Baba Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Some Baba Srimad Bhagavatam. And generally he says, generally what I used to do is, yeah, that person's Bhagavatam, this is the Bhagavatam, just take it, as long as you take it. So is that right? 3 years back, during the marathon, people would come and say, Sukh Sagar hai kya aapke paas? Sukh Sagar. There is some book, very famous book, Sukh Sagar. So our devotee, this devotee of ours, he says, yeah, yeah, Sukh Sagar, hey, hey, Sukh Sagar, hey, le lo. Sukh ka Sagar hai ye. Agar ye loge to Sukh ka Sagar prapt karo. And then we had a discussion. And we said, we were discussing, and then one thing is, better to distribute on the actual, what do you say, merit of the book. We are not, that sometimes we extend the statement of Prabhupada, do it by hook or by crook. But that tendency, but you can explain. Actually there is Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam should be heard from this one, and our Bhagavatam is coming from that. If you want, you can take it. We don't have any Babas. This is Bhaktivedanta Baba. This is Bhagavatam. He has spread this Bhagavatam message all over the world. Many, many people all over are taking up this process and are purified. If you would like, you can take this. Actually, they appreciate that. And if they don't, theek hai. I think one of the dangers, as it was explained, one of the dangers is this tendency is there. We start, hook or by crook, get things done. But then it becomes such a habit that after book distribution, when we come to the temple also and we want to get some things done, we try this hook or by crook. And sometimes that's not good. So ideally it's best to sell on the merit of the book. Tell them what this is. That's the best. You may lose one, but get three more who appreciate. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for explaining the spirit of this verse. This is a little, may not be on the spirit of the verse, this question, but some detail. You mentioned in the beginning about these five subjects, Vishaya, Samshaya. And then I started saying that Chaitanya Charitamrita Vishaya. And then Samshaya is what is the soul?
No, what is life? Life of the soul.
Yeah.
So what is life and what is the destination of the soul?
So is there any other remaining aspect also in that or only just two?
No, these two. What is life and what is the destination of the soul? Sorry, I think I... Not what is soul. What is life? Because we are life of the soul. So some people consider the body to be the soul. Dehatma buddhi. So what is life? And what is soul? What is the goal of life?
The remaining three is also mentioned, like what the sangati and other.
What remaining three? What is that?
Sangati, purapaksha and...
Yeah, purapaksha is all other conclusions which is defeated. See, Jiva Goswami in Shat Sandarbha brings out all this. Sometimes, even in Prabhupada's books you see, you know. So, someone may ask. Who will ask? People at this lower level, they may ask, what is this? How can you do that? Like that? How can you say like that? How can God be simultaneously impersonal and personal and things like that? Actually, even in Bhagavad Gita, actually what Mahaprabhu said is Gita and Bhagavad. Even in Bhagavad Gita, this description is there. In the 9th chapter, first says Krishna, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, 9.10. Then immediately says, Avajananti Mam Mudha Manushim Tanumashutam Param Bhavam Ajananto Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. He tells the lowest category, Avajananti, derided, the fools, impersonalists, Mudhas. And what is the result? Moghasha, Mogha Karmana, Mogha Jnana, Vicheta Saha, Rakshasim, Asurim, Chaiva, Prakriti, Mohinim, Shuta. You know, they Bahirmukha. Because they have turned away, Krishna Bahirmukha, Bhoga Vancha Kare, Nikashtastha, Mayatare, Japatyadar. So, that is Bahirmukha. Then he says, what is the highest level? Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Devim, Prakriti, Mashita, Bhajanti, Ananya Manaso, Gyatva, Bhutadim, Avyayam. Daivim Prakriti, they are completely taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. Shrimati Radharan, that means devotional service. Bhajanti Ananya Manaso, they are not at all distracted. And Gyatva Bhutadim, knowing me to be the source of everything that exists and eternal. And what is their activity? Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, always glorifying me. Yatantascha Dridhavrataha, endeavoring with full determination. Namasyantasya Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate. They completely surrender to me and live a life. And then immediately says, Jnana yajnena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prathaktvena bahudha vishvato mukham. Krishna gives a broad category. That is the category. And that it says, ekatvena. Ekatvena means those who think I am God. That is the impersonal conception. That is the lowest. Higher than that is prathaktvena bahudha. That there are different gods, my own conception, different conception of this is God, this is God, this is demigod is God. So all these are different conception of gods whom they worship. And Vishwato Mukham, higher than that is the whole universe is the body of God, Vishwara Virat Rupa. So Prabhupada says that below Mahatmas are the four, Artho Jigyasu Arthartik Jnani. Because they are at least on the right track. They know Krishna to be the absolute. Below that are the Vishwarupa, below that is the demigod worshippers, and the lowest is one who worships himself, Ahangrohopasana. But he says, at least it's good that some conception of God is there. Just like I was listening to one lecture. So Prabhupada says, so some people worship themselves as God. I was wondering how they worship themselves. But our Krishna Gopal Prabhu, Gopal's garden, who is working, he told that his father's friend, he gets the whole aarti plate with garland, everything, and comes in front of the mirror and keeps it, puts the garland and takes the aarti and does it to himself. Can you imagine? Stands in front of the mirror and worships himself. I have seen another version also, Bangalore. So there are different ways people worship. But so Prabhupada says, so at least there is some conception of God. But the problem is, only he worships himself. Nobody else worships him. If he goes in the street, no one worships him as God. This is the problem. Then comes bahudha, ekat prithaktva bahudha. My own conception. So then you may have a following worshipping that God. But not everyone agrees. But then the universal form. Because all is staying in the universe. So everyone accepts, at least in this universe, that there is the supreme. But that's the beginning. But then gradually, they come to the real understanding, antarmukh, by understanding actually who God is. Then sadhana bhakta, that is a sadhana bhakta. Then purification, then he becomes a mahatma, pure bhakta. That clear? Okay. Yes, one last question.
Krishna, these Bhaktivedanta purports are supposed to be good for the next 10,000 years, and yet Prabhupada is saying in this verse, "Hey, you disciples, give me a break, let me translate." So can you explain the significance of why Prabhupada is so personal in this purport? I mean, what are people going to think in 10,000 years when they read this purport?
They should know. A time should come when they should grow up and take up the responsibility and inherit the headache and relieve the headache of the previous ones. That's das, dasanu das. That's what spiritual life is all about. Mat janmana phalamidam madukaita bare mat prarthaniya madanugraha esha eva tvat bhritya bhritya paricharaka bhritya bhritya bhrityasya bhritya iti mam smaralokanatha. Mukundamala Stotra says, mat janmana phalamidam. This is the ultimate fruit of my life. Mat janmana phalamidam madukaita bare, O killer of madhu and kaitava. Mat prarthaniya. This is my only aspiration. Mad anugraha, and I will consider my life blessed and successful if tvat pada pankaja sthita dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. You consider me your servant, not servant, tvat bhritya bhritya paricharaka bhritya bhritya. And Satsurup Maharaj writes in that purport of that verse, he says, that's our philosophy. Krishna is served by Srimati Radharani. She knows best how to serve Krishna. We don't know. He knows, she knows best how to serve Krishna. And how to assist her? The best person who knows is the sakhis, the gopis. And the best way to assist them are the manjaris, headed by Rupa Manjari. And we are Rupanugas, you know. So even in Guru Ashtaka, we sing, Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhya Yayali Vir Yuktir Tatrati Dakshad Ati Vallabhasya. Therefore, we just worship. We just follow in the footsteps. And that's parampara. That's parampara. So, take up this. Inherit in the parampara. Prabhupada, he himself says, I have accepted. We have joyfully accepted this. So, he's telling, it's the principle. For now, not 10,000 years. For millions of years, this is the principle. That I accepted the headache. I inherited the headache. And now, I have done this. Now, I want that this parampara should continue. It's not that it stops there. That should continue. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a desire. I can't extend myself. I can't travel all over. I wanted some of my disciples to go to the West and do this preaching for me. He requested. He actually sent many of them. So his desire, that's his desire to expand. The whole thing is to expand that service. And we are all limited entities, and therefore we have our limitations. Then we do our best. Then we say how to the nature of the spiritual life is you are not satisfied. In one sense, we are fully satiated, we are satisfied wherever we are, but with the service, we are never satisfied. We want to do more and more and more. That the whole world, that area is still not approached. That person is not yet approached. That was Mahaprabhu's mood. I have opened the storehouse of love of God and have broken the seal. Everyone is flooded except these Poduyas and Maya, Kashir Mayavadi. They have escaped. Now I have to deliver them also. Therefore he took sannyas. Not satisfied till everyone is fully drowned and their material life is finished. Narad Muni could have been satisfied. I have delivered 100 children. Okay, 10,000. Poor Daksha, let him manage. Okay, ole. Only 9,000, you know, 1,000. No. If there is a receptive candidate, why not? Never satisfied. He didn't. Next time he produced daughters, right? Otherwise, he could have come. Narad Muni would have gone again. So, it's a principle being stated. It's hard. Krishna is. Prabhupada says, these are my devotional ecstasies. His heart. He's just revealing his heart. And that's the spirit. If you see the spirit, that's the spirit of the Guru. He has accepted in spirit, and that's parampara. Should continue to the best of each one's ability. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nithai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.